Well, good morning, church. Well, you woke up this morning and you're joining us with our cornerstone at home. And yes, the world is still in crisis. Wish we'd woken up this morning and it's all been going away, but it hasn't. You know, that being in this crisis over these last several months, we've all had an opportunity to experience the lack of things. A shortage of toilet paper, or, you know, you can't get certain things you would normally get. And, you know, one of the things that my wife in particular has really missed has been hair appointments. Can't get her toes done. Can't get her nails done. I've seen a lot of people looking mighty bushy, you know. A lot of people looking for get their hair did, I'm telling you. And those appointments have also been lacking. You know, whenever life was normal, we generally wouldn't like appointments. But now, during the crisis, you know, you can't get doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, hair appointments. All these appointments that we were taking for granted, all of a sudden, you can't have them anymore. And now all that's starting to come back online. And, you know, people are looking a little better. You know, taking a little better care of yourself. Your hair's looking better and your nails are looking better. We appreciate that. But our life is full of appointments a lot of times. And we understand that appointments change. You know, because don't you have those annoying telephone calls now when you have a doctor's appointment? There's this one particular place that I have an appointment with. As soon as you make it, bam, they got a call. And what it was, the cable TV place. Have y'all experienced that? Get your cable changed. It is horrendous. As soon as you make an appointment, 10 minutes later, phone rings. This is to confirm your appointment. Thursday at 10 a.m. Press 1. Yes, I am confirming it. And then 3 hours later, call you again. We have had an issue in your area that we think has now resolved your problem. If you would really like to confirm your appointment, press 1. I am confirming this appointment. You need to come fix my stuff. And then the day before, they send you another one, and then the morning of, it's horrible. And there's one thing we know about appointments, is that they're vital, but also we know this, that appointments can change. So not only do we have appointments for life, but as followers of God, we have divine appointments. Those things, those places, those people that we're supposed to be involved in, that we hear from God directly, that this is what we need to do. And just like regular life appointments, divine appointments can change. I want us to consider that question. Whenever we look at the life of the Apostle Paul this morning in Acts chapter 22, and Paul is retelling his encounter with the risen Jesus. You remember Paul, his name was originally Saul, and he went all throughout the land, and he would arrest Christians, and he would torture them. He put them in prison, and some have some of them killed. He was an enemy of the church, or what they called during that time, the Way. On one of his journeys to capture more Christians, he had this incredible encounter with God. The risen Jesus came, shone in a bright light, drove him to his knees, caused him to be blind. And this was the question that Jesus asked Paul. Why do you persecute me? Why are you trying to destroy my church? And in that moment, Saul, who later became Paul, he understood that he was speaking with God himself. And this is what Paul's response to that was. Acts chapter 22, verse 10, Paul asks, "What shall I do, Lord? What is it that you want me to do?" And the Lord said to me, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed," put that in the comments, "appointed for you to do." You're appointed to do something. So the Lord sends him to a man named Ananias, who tells him this in verse 14. He said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and hear the voice of his mouth, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and what you have heard. You know, over the last several weeks, we've been talking about navigating change. Some things that we need to have present in our life, some habits, some attitudes, some revelations to our spirit and our minds, some things that we need to have in place so that we can become better on the other side of a crisis. We need to have some things in place that we begin to practice. Now, last week, Pastor Dustin talked about hearing God. And I want to continue in that vein, in that subject today, because I think it's so vital as to where we are right now. As individuals, as a church, as a nation, as a world, as a human race, it is so vital for us to understand that basic principle understanding of what it is to hear the voice of God. So I want to first look at, where do we begin? And it's going to begin with a desire. It's going to begin with having a genuine cry, just as the Apostle Paul had. The starting point is, Lord, what do you want me to do? If you really want to know God's plan for you, God's appointment for you, it's vital that that is your heart. You know, as Pastor Dustin said last week, you know, God doesn't shout. He's not going to drop a stone out of the sky to hit you across the head to tell you what his plan is. No, he wants to speak it to you. But you won't even hear it unless you have a hungry heart. That is your desire. You want to know what God would have you to do. And it's not a situation where you come to God and tell God what you want to do. You know, we want to come and say, God, this is really what I want to do. Will you please bless me with it? This is where I want to be. Will you please give that to me? This is who I want to be with. Will you please give them to me? This is the job I want. Will you please give it to me? This is the money I want. Will you please give it to me? And somehow we get all twisted up in our heads. We don't understand the difference between our wants and our desires and God's wants and desires for us. We think, I'm a Christian. God should respect what I want and he should give it to me. God doesn't operate like that. There has to be a surrender. There has to be a self-sacrifice where we're putting our own desires aside so we can actually hear God. You know, Georgie and I have some very dear friends of ours that the wife is deaf in one ear. And we've been friends for quite some years. And when we first started going out to dinner with them or hanging out with them, she would kind of like, right before we started to talk, she would get up and go on the other side. And, you know, it's kind of odd the first couple of times, and eventually I said, you know, why are you getting up and going on the other side? She said, well, I'm deaf in one ear. So if you sit on the wrong side, I can't hear you. So if you're going to talk to me, I need to make sure that I sit on the side that has my listening ear. And, you know, that's the way it is whenever we want to hear from God. Our listening side is the surrender side, where we're not trying to get God to listen to us, but rather we want to listen to God. And so you have like two ears. You have the self ear that you're not going to hear God out of that, but the surrendered ear, then you can hear God. And if that is truly your heart, where you really are desperate for God to speak to you, to hear God's voice, God's response to you will be the same as it was to the Apostle Paul. You will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. We have been appointed by God. You have been appointed by God. We have appointments with God. We all have appointments with God. Those are divine appointments. And let me tell you what a divine appointment is. It's being at the God place, at the God time, doing the God thing. A divine appointment is being at the God place, at the God time, doing the God thing. And those appointments, those divine appointments, they can change. I see a mistake that a lot of believers make is that they can be at a point in their life where they're really desperate, and and they really seek God, and God gives them direction. And they think, now that I have it, you know, it's never going to change. And they'll continue to do the same thing. And that's not the way that God operates. You see, God has appointments for you, but those appointments do change. For example, let's just take like Moses. Moses started out and he was a member of the royal family. He was in high society. And then his appointment changed. He was kicked out of the land. He was banished. Then his appointment was to be a shepherd for years. Then he was a deliverer. Then he was a desert leader. Then he was a military commander. His appointment changed. But who he was never changed. You see, who you are in Christ, who you are, does not change, but what you're supposed to do changes. It's constantly morphing. You're the same who, but your what will change. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. There are a lot of people that are watching this right now that you may not know it yet, but God has already changed your appointment. You know, our world will never be the same. All these events since the beginning of the year, it has changed everything about what is happening around us. None of it has changed who we are. We are still in Christ. We are sons of the living God. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are seated at the right hand of the Father. That is who we are. But what God has given us to do, our appointments, are going to change. And it's important to be able to stay close to God, to hear how those appointments are going to change. So the question, honestly, what I want to answer this morning is this. How do I know when my appointment has changed? How do I know when my appointment has changed? This is it. Listen, it is the same as God told Paul. God says, I have chosen you that you should know his will. God has chosen you, and he wants you to understand what his appointment is for you and to hear the voice of his mouth. How do I know when my appointment has changed? We know by hearing his voice. Well, how do I hear God's voice? You know, I've talked about this subject for years, but I want to try to make it as short and simple and sweet as I possibly can, because I really think this is so important that we grab hold of this. How do you know when your appointment has changed? We know it by hearing God's voice. How do I hear God's voice? You hear God's voice when you read his book. Now, this is important, what I want to tell you. It's not just reading the Bible, but it's, you know, just reading the Bible is good. If you really want God to speak to you about what your next step is, what your next assignment is, an appointment is, it has to be matched with the hunger. You come to the Word, and it is a prayerful mind. You're seeking an answer to something. You know, I was reading this past week. How many of you heard about those guys finding that hidden treasure? Y'all hear about that? Strangest thing, this guy... He was 89, I think he was. This past week, he was 89 years old, and he buried a treasure somewhere in the Rocky Mountains out west. He was a treasure hunter himself, an archaeologist, and he found all these gold things, these trinkets, jewelry, all these diamonds and stuff, and it was valued at least $1 million. He put it in a box and buried it in the ground 10 years ago. And over the past 10 years, he'd give out little clues for people to find it. And people quit their jobs. Some people went bankrupt. They were so obsessed with finding this hidden treasure. Well, this past week, the man who buried the box, he doesn't even know who found it. But he confirmed that it was found because the people that found it took a video of it, took a picture of it, and he said, that's my box. That was the treasure. You got it. You know, it just kind of reminds you, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You know, when you're willing to lay everything aside, you can, I'm not saying quit your job to hear God's voice. That's not what I'm saying. But it's that desire. It's that deep down hunger. I just really want to know. Like a hidden treasure. And it's the same attitude that Paul had. His first question when he had an encounter with Jesus, what shall I do, Lord? Oh my gosh, I have such an incredible encounter with you. I want to do what you want me to do. What shall I do? We understand and can begin to discern what God is trying to say to us whenever we take that hunger and we bring it in to reading the Word. Because we can read Scripture and it can provide for us two things, inspiration and information. Both of those are good. Both of those are good. There are times when that's all you need. You know, I was talking to a lady the other day, and she's in an incredible depression. She's in a very dark place. And she was like, I just pray that I won't end up in a, mental facility by the end of the week. She's in that kind of position. And I told her, I said, look, she hardly had the energy to answer the phone. And I told her, I said, look, you have got to fill the air where you are with the Word of God in order for it to speak over you. And so I led her through how to download the Bible app. And I said, the guy's voice that I like the most is in the NIV version. Download the Bible app. Go to the NIV. You'll see a little speaker at the top. I said, start at Psalm 20 and just push play. And I said, just turn it up and just let the Word of God be read over you. There are times when you just need the Word for inspiration, for hope. Sometimes that's all the energy we can muster. And there's nothing wrong with that. But more often than not, we're coming to God because we have so many decisions to make. There's so many things that are going on in our life. And it's not just that we need inspiration or information. What we need is, we need revelation. We need it to move from information to revelation. And what I mean by that, Scripture says that the Word of God is living and is active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I can tell you how this has worked for me, and God has proven to me hundreds of times throughout my life of walking with God. And it's where when you come to Scripture and there is something that you're crying out to God for, not the want ear now. Not the want ear, because that's not going to hear God's voice, but it's a sacrificial ear that says, Lord, what would you have me do? And it's with that ear you bend and you come to the Word of God and you begin to read. And let me tell you, it's not that it never works this way for me. It may work that way for you, but it's not a matter of, okay, I'm going to go to a concordance and I'm going to look up all the Scriptures on parenting. Because my kids are driving me crazy. That's what I need. I just need all the verses on parenting because my teenager is really in a bad spot. Maybe that will work for you, but that's not the way it works for me. And I think that's what it means when it says that Scripture is live and it's active. The reason I told that lady to start in Psalm 20, if I'm in a deep place with God and I really is wrestling with God, I go to the Psalms. And it can be something that seems somewhat obscure to you. And quite often when God speaks to me, like when I have the hungry heart, many times he'll give me one word. He'll give me a word like desire. He'll give me a word like stop. He'll give me a word like run. He would give me a word like turn. He would give me a word like look or forgive or grace. And quite often, it's surrounded by a story or a context that's not applicable to me. But see, the Word of God is living and it's active. And God takes that word and says, Artie, that is for you. I am opening that Scripture up and I'm revealing to you what I want to say to you. That is how God illuminates and brings revelation from the Word to you individually. God begins to speak to you. Now, I want to clarify, whenever you do that, you can't take a scripture out of context and turn it around and make it what you want it to make it. God will never tell you to do something that is contrary, plainly, in other parts of scripture. That's not what that's for. I'm saying when you're struggling, I'm having a hard time dealing with this person at work. You know, and you know, they're slandering me, or I'm being overlooked for a promotion, I'm not being recognized, whatever it may be, and you're like crying out to God, God, I am really struggling with this person, I'm struggling with this position, what should I do? And as you come to the Word of God like that, it doesn't typically, it's not one day for me, I don't come to the Scripture with a heart like that, and boy, one day God shows me the answer. It's typically when I'm struggling and wrestling with God, and it's over a period of time. It could be days, but it could be weeks or months. In one instance, my life was an entire year before God spoke into it. But, you know, that's the whole idea of hearing God's voice. It starts with reading His book. And you read His book with the understanding and the heart cry, Lord, what shall I do? And you want to begin to write those things down that the Lord speaks to you, reveals to you from Scripture. You know, my father-in-law, and I've talked about him many times, he was my spiritual mentor for a year when he was still living, and he was the one that taught me really how to hear God's voice. And he always told me, and I've always found this to be true, and I'm not saying this in all things, but typically in larger decisions where you know, it's almost like you want to cast a fleece and see if it's going to work, that God confirms what He shows you in Scripture. And what I have found, He taught me, God speaks three times. I have found that to be true. You know, I have seen that over and over again, and, you know, you may say, oh, that you can't, that's not plain in Scripture. I understand, but I'm just telling you, I have seen that in my own life. That's what my father-in-law taught me, you know, and I have found that to be true, that if there's a difficult decision to be made, when I come to God and I really have a hungry heart, and it's a surrendered heart, it's a surrendered ear, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I'm in the Word, asking God to speak to me through the Word. He will give me a word. But then it's like, you know, you want confirmation, because this may be a difficult decision to make. And then as you stand on that word, you begin to pray into that. God, is this right? You know, you can be in a bad relationship, and every part of your being, every part of your flesh, you want to get out of that relationship. You want to kick that marriage to the curb. And you with a listening ear, not with a wanting ear, but with the listening ear, you come to Scripture, and maybe God will give you a word that says, stay. And you're like, God, that's not what I want to do. There's so many reasons why I should leave, but God gives you a word to stay. And then you ask God, is that really what you're saying? And if you listen to God, He'll confirm that word for you. Someone will, in a conversation, they'll use that word, and the Spirit of God would prick you and say, that's the word I gave you. I have wrestled with God, and the Lord has given me a word, and I have seen that word confirmed on the side of a truck. And the Spirit of God would point it out to me. Say, listen, you wanted confirmation. I wasn't looking for it. It was like, boom, and dadgummit, wish I hadn't seen that truck, because that's not really what I want to do. You know, but it's important that we yield ourselves to God that way. And so we go from inspiration and information to revelation. And then if we walk in that revelation, it brings us to a place of transformation. See, transformation is when Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians, where we go from glory to glory. We go to a higher place and a closer place and a more intimate place with God, from glory to glory, being transformed into His image. Transformation comes as a byproduct of us obeying what God tells us to do. And it's not just the moral part of Scripture. You know, that's a given. That's a given. You don't lie, you don't steal, you don't cheat. You know, we read Scripture about moral commands. That's a giving. We know those things. But then there are going to be things that God is going to speak to you personally. And just like Paul, Lord, what would you have me to do? Get up. and I need you to go into Damascus and find this man named Ananias and listen to what he has to say. Paul had a choice, right? He could have not. Man, that's crazy. I'm not going to do that. That crazy light blinded me. I'm going to go find a doctor. I'm not looking for no guy named Ananias. But whenever your heart is at a place where you're crying out to God, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you take that hunger and you go to the Word, not for a day, not for an hour, but for a season, as long as that season takes. We have a saying around here, no word, no move. Because you can move on something that makes sense. It's everything is being equal. This is the only thing that makes sense. And I have made so many bad mistakes by doing what I think makes sense because you didn't wait on that word from God. But we take that hunger and we get into the Word and we wait for the Lord to bring the Word and it reveals itself to us and we wait for God to confirm it to us. And yes, this is it. And as we walk in that revelation, then we become transformed. We become a different person. But you know what we have to do then? We have to go back to God again because that's going to change. Your appointment will change. You know, it's just like the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. They're crying out for something to eat. God gave them manna. And he said, I'm going to give you this fresh bread every single day. But don't try to hold on to it for another day. Because then it got maggots and worms and it became harmful to them if they were to eat it. What God gives you one day, it could be fresh and sweet and nutritious in it, and it fills every part of your being, but that may not be the same bread he has for you the next day. And so we need to constantly have our listening ear to God because I promise you, your appointment is going to change. Now, I want to sum this up as simply as I can. This is the truth. You have been appointed by God, and you have appointments, divine appointments with God. And that divine appointment means being at the God place, at the God time, doing the God thing. A divine appointment for you is being at the God place, at the God time, doing the God thing. And those divine appointments are going to change. So you say, well, how do I know when that appointment has changed? You know that by hearing God's voice. Well, how do I hear God's voice? You hear God's voice by reading his book. You take a hungry heart, you read his scripture, not just for information or inspiration, but you take that hungry heart. You go into the Word of God and you wait for revelation. You wait for God to reveal to you when he pulls the curtain back and he will give you a word. Just like he told Paul, I will tell you, I have a desire. It's like Pastor Dustin said last week, God is always speaking, but we're not always listening. Sometimes we will have that want ear to God and not the sacrificial ear. Because that want ear, that's very seldom heard. I don't get a lot of the want, but whenever I have a sacrificial ear to God, that's where peace and joy comes. And whenever we have that inspiration of Scripture tied with a hungry heart, it brings revelation. And as we obey that revelation, as we walk through it, God will bring us the transformation. I hope you can grasp and understand that concept, because there are going to be a lot of changes in almost all of our lives in the coming weeks, coming months, coming years. All of us are not going to be great. And we don't want to be stuck in a spot that God told us to be somewhere in the past. We were in the God place at one time. But God's place now has moved, and we need to move with God. You know, just like the Israelites when they were in the wilderness and they were led by a cloud. And Moses said whenever the cloud would stop and it would rest, they would stop and they would make camp. Sometimes they would be in that place for a day, sometimes a week or months, sometimes a year. But they would not move until the cloud moved. But when the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. And that should be true in every part of our life, every part of your life. That now in the midst of crisis and change, but with those things come also great opportunity. The Lord is going to speak some new things to you, some fresh things to you. And quite honestly, this is what I'm really hearing from God for quite a few of you. It's going to be a time of great anxiety because God is going to speak something to you that you feel completely uncomfortable doing. And that's okay. That's all right. That's when you need God. You go back to that revelation that the Lord gave you, and you camp on that. You write that down, as Habakkuk said. You catch the vision, and you write it down. So when you read it, you can continue to run. Capture those revelations that God gives you and continue to walk in, and God will transform you into something new. He will take you from glory to glory. Now, if you're watching this and you're not sure whether or not you're a believer, I'm not saying in order to be a believer, you have to have some Damascus Road experience like the Apostle Paul had. No, but you can have an experience with God that is supernatural nonetheless. You can have an encounter with the risen Savior. It comes from turning your listening ear to God. And if you've never had a relationship with God before through His Son Jesus, I invite you to do that now. Don't do it while you're driving, okay? That would be a good idea. But you may be sitting on your couch. You can be back in your bedroom. You could be watching it while you take a bath, whatever it may be. But we want to help guide you through that process. We're going to put a number on the screen. You text the word saved or you text the word prayer to 803-373-5255. You text that to that number and someone will contact you. We want to walk you through that process because we are really in a place that we want to help you get to that next place. We want you to understand the next appointment that God has for you. Even though it may make you a little fearful because it takes you out of your comfort zone, God wants to stretch you. You can't be transformed quite often without some discomfort, some pain, but that's how you grow. That's how you move from glory to glory. I hope this word has encouraged you. I hope it's given you hope. And more than anything, I pray that the word today would give you real handles as to how to get to that next place and discover God's next appointment for you. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you do speak to us. You have chosen us. And you have chosen us so that we will understand your will through hearing your voice, by reading your book. And through that process, God, I pray that all those in the hearshot of my voice, that they would feel a tug at their hearts, that thing that they've been wanting to understand and quite a few may even be bitter because you hadn't spoken in the way that they wanted you to speak. But God, make it clear. Show them what it's like to have a surrendered ear and to come to your word with hunger. Train your children what it's like to hear your voice by coming to your word, receiving revelation, and walking in that and having transformation in our lives. And we love you. Thank you for hearing our prayers and speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you. We'll see you next week.